This is A Mexican Crossing Lines. Hello and welcome to A Mexican Crossing Lines with Cindy Gomez-Shemp
and Duke Gomez-Shemp.
You're listening to 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. We're also broadcasting online through Shoutcast, so if you're not in the Fargo-Moorhead metro area, you can catch us online at kppfm.com. Just click on the Listen Live link.
That's right.
And you can also message us with your comments, questions, topic ideas, and tips. We really appreciate all the tips that we get from our listeners.
That's right. You can go to, you can send us a direct message to our Facebook site, or a better way is you can call our call-in line at 701-566-0917. Again, that number is 701-566-0917. I'll put it on the screen a little bit. You can leave a message up to 3 minutes. Tell us what you have to say. Give us a tip. Send us a message. We may play it on the air. If you don't want to play it on the air, be anonymous. Just tell us what you have to say. You can also tweet us at media_PPP. Email Cindy at cindy@kppfm.com or me, duke@kppfm.com. Follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo-Moorhead, the People's Press Project of Mexi-Can.
So I'm going to set up the interview that I'm sharing with you today because everybody's probably wondering, who's Sonny? Francis Sonny, in quotes. His real name is Francis, but he's called Sonny. Francis Sonny Richards. Richard is actually how it's pronounced, as he told me in my interview, because he's French. And he is an attorney. He's also related to Mary Trujillo, the elder that was taken from the camp and whose guardianship was put in the hands of Melanie Stoneman. And he's going to tell you how he knows her. He's also going to talk about Bill Runningfisher and how he knows Bill Runningfisher and how those two are related to each other. And he talks about his work as an attorney, an advocate, which is the original word for attorney, an advocate, you know?
Really?
Yeah. Wow. It comes from the word avocat, which in Spanish is abogado, which means attorney.
Wow.
And he has been a tribal attorney. He understands tribal law for 35 years.
Wow.
He is given his service. So he knows what he's talking about. And he is going to tell you a lot of information. He's also going to talk about how he has personally been threatened. His life has been threatened because he is trying to help Kathleen Bennett, his relative, his flesh and blood relative, and Mary Trujillo, his relative, by petitioning the court for her guardianship. A person who is actually related to her, unlike Melanie Stoneman, mm-hmm. who is a complete stranger. So, here we go. Hopefully this time we can get through this interview.
Yeah, let's do it.
It's been a rough day, guys.
Uh-huh.
Here we go with Sonny's interview with me.
Reservation, and I'm Oglala Lakota, too.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for talking to me. I have so many questions for you about about this case. Well, I just wanted to find out first and foremost about the doctor's report that was given. Do you have any more documents that you can share with us about what the allegations and who the statements are coming from against Kathleen?
Well, I initially had made contact, you know, with a camp doctor by the name of Sarah, and also a medic. She wouldn't give me her name, but I made contact with them, and then they promised to give me a notarized statement, you know, that everything was just alleged, that none of that happened, that at all times, you know, that Kathleen, my cousin, took care of her mother, and at no time was she ever in danger. So now my situation is that I'm going to have to get her subpoenaed, and she changed her number on me when I was talking good with her until she found out that she may have to be subpoenaed to appear in court, and then she disappeared on me. And now I know that this coming Friday I'm scheduled to be in Fort Dodge. came from is, I believe you know, is on the reservation of the Stoneyrock Reservation. So therefore, the complaints that allegedly came from this camp are not on the state side. So that's why we have a good case, and eventually I'm hoping and praying that it will be dismissed, you know, because December 30th, we had a hearing in Bismarck, at which time I was really fortunate that I'm a tribal court attorney. I'm not a state bar attorney. I'm a tribal court attorney for 35 years. Mm-hmm. But based upon a jurisdiction that we have as tribal members, the judge allowed me to advocate, you know, for my cousin. Mm-hmm. And I emphasize, you know, that everything was a hearsay. And the judge acknowledged that everything was hearsay. And he said, if I hear any more witnesses that are hearsay, I am going to dismiss this case. So we were okay.
So I wanted to just kind of recap a little bit of what he said. He's talking about the fact that all the complaints against Kathleen came from the camp, which was on tribal land. And so tribal jurisdiction reigns. And he also said that his collection of information shows him that the people that he's talked to say that Kathleen was taking a good care of her mother, Mary Trujillo. Let's listen to what else he has to say. And also, he spoke about the hearing, the initial hearing, and that the judge was upset about the fact that all of the evidence that was presented, in air quotes here, was hearsay. What that means is there was no factual evidence of anything. It was rumors, allegations. And he said if there was any more of that presented, he was going to dismiss the whole thing. So he was happy with that. So this gives you another dimension into what that was like, that hearing was like, where Mulaney was given this emergency guardianship.
So in the meantime, Mulaney Stoneman, a white eagle Fisher, I had represented her husband, Bill Running Fisher in Roosevelt Court in 2004.
So he said that Mulaney Stoneman, White Eagle Fisher, he gave a bunch of different names that she's had. He represented her husband in 2004 on the Rosebud Reservation. Just making sure everybody hears what he said.
And at which time, Melanie took off to San Antonio, Texas with the children that were not her any kin to. They were kind of like adopted children. Mm-hmm. And so I had all that documents, you know, but unfortunately, our van burned up, so all my documents that I had from that Roosevelt Court disappeared. So when I went to the Roosevelt Court to try to get a motion for discovery on that document, for an unknown reason, all the paperwork disappeared. So obviously, Melanie Stoneman, Fisher, White Eagle, had something to do with that. It's on this reservation, it's not what we know, but it's who we know. So evidently, you know, she had some contacts with the tribal system there in Rosebud, South Dakota, on the Rosebud Reservation. So everything was, it was a zero there.
So what he's alleging here is that Mulaney Stoneman had those records that he knows of where she absconded with some children that were not even hers. They were not her blood relatives. He's saying this woman has a pattern of behavior of taking the custody of people who are not her relatives and went to San Antonio, Texas with them. Those records existed. He was the lawyer on the case. He represented Bill Running Fisher, then her husband at the time. And the records have been removed. And the ones he had, unfortunately, burned up in the facility where he was housing those records. So when he went to go and recover them again, they were unavailable. But yet, he remembers that case because he worked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And you will hear in the future here, in his interview, how Bill Running Fisher, in a phone call with him, acknowledges that he remembers that Sonny was his attorney.
But anyway, now now I have some good news, is that the Standing Rock Reservation, talking with them just recently, they emphasize, you know, that where that camp is, where they cleared out of the camp, is on a reservation of the Standing Rock Reservation. So therefore, I'm going to be there. I'm scheduled to be there Friday, and they're going to give me this document. So when we go to a status hearing on the 27th of February this month, I'm hoping that that attorney will be able to have it ask for a dismissal. Because in the status hearing, you know, if the prosecution had the burden of proof, then my cousin will be bound over for a trial. But I don't believe, you know, that they have any kind of burden of proof right now. It's just all hearsay. The same complaint that was made on my cousin from Melanie Stoneman is the same complaint that was run the Cruz. And we still don't know who she is. I know that my granddaughter been checking up on her on YouTube and on the internet, on Facebook, and we found out that she's Rhonda Grossman. Rhonda Grossman is, and she has another name, but M-U-N-C, Munt, you know, so she has several names. And I believe, you know, that Rhonda Gross and Melanie Stoneman, I believe they're either sisters or they're closely related. They have to be, you know, because of the issue that they have. But anyway, they have an address in North Dakota, but I found out through the reservation in Roosevelt that I'm going to try to get this document that Melanie Stoneman testified under oath.
Okay, before he talks about how Mulaney testified under oath, he's going to tell you something Mulaney did under oath that he found out was untrue, and therefore she was in contempt of court because she lied to the court, which is a crime. But before he talks about that, he's telling us about Rhonda Gross, who is one of the signatories on the documents that have condemned Kathleen Bennett as an abuser of her own mother. So he's looking into her, who she is, one of the people that signed the documents in the complaints against Kathleen Bennett, saying that she abused her own mother, Mary Trujillo, this man, Sonny Richard's relative, his cousin, who he does not believe was abused by Kathleen. He's saying that this woman gave him, has different names, Rhonda Grossman, and also Mentz and Gross, and that she, he believes, is related somehow to Mulaney Stoneman, like sisters or something, he says. Okay? Here's what he says now Mulaney Stoneman testified to in court.
She is advocate, you know, for the women's violence counts. But when I found out, when I went to Roosevelt Reservation, she's not any part of any advocacy program, women's program at Roosevelt Reservation. So,
okay, so she stated in court that she was part of a violence against women advocacy program on the Rosebud Reservation as an expert in the court, saying she's representative of, where have we heard her saying that she represents women and elders and children? At the camp.
At the camp.
She was raising money on her GoFundMe mm-hmm. to do that.
That's right.
She got a $17,000 SUV
yep.
from her GoFundMe, which was connected to the Women of the Dakotas. If you missed that interview where we talked about that, you got to go back and watch it. But he's saying she lied in court. He went and checked out to see if she was, and she wasn't mm-hmm. an advocate. Wow. She wasn't anything. She That's had right. no credentials.
That's right.
Kind of like how she said she was a medic mm-hmm. in a bunch of the videos and the news stories that we've seen. And then she says she's not a medic.
That's right. You talk to her directly, ask her that question. She says, nope, I'm not a medic.
People want to know, when will we have the podcast audio up?
I can put the podcast audio up tonight before you get up in the morning.
Wow. See?
And I will do that. It won't go on the air until we have it edited, but I can put it up so you can listen to it.
Wow.
It'll be called Interview with Frances Sonny Richards, audio file.
See, we love you guys.
That's right.
We want to get this out to you right away.
We want you to hear this, and it's difficult to watch us live stream, but we're going to have an uninterrupted audio file ready for you to listen to.
Mm-hmm. We will. Let's listen to more of what he says.
I do know, you know, that she can be held in contempt, you know, for giving falsified information. And for Rhonda Gross, I don't know. We're doing the best we can. Our deadline is on the 27th of December, the 27th of February this month. That's when Kathleen goes to her status hearing. So I'm kind of really in a bind right now. And then today the court called me and told me that they're going to recuse me as a, with the cross petition. They're going to recuse husband and I. But I emphasized, I told them, I said, you know, I might not be a state bar attorney, but I said, I know the law. And I know that if you try to remove both of us, you're going to violate our due process, you know, because the brother that's trying to get temporary guardianship, they're trying to make it permanent. And I said, you can't do that because due process, you know, me and Kathleen have the right to be heard in court. So on the 14th, allegedly, we're supposed to have a court. But I told him, I said, basically, she takes care of her mom. She still has a power of attorney. So she told me today, she said, talking on the phone, she said, the guardianship supersedes the power of attorney. I said, no, it don't. No, it don't. If it's a hearing and if it's a judge, you know, but I want you to understand, you know, that they are residents in Nevada. They are not residents of North Dakota. And they are not residents of the reservation there in Standing Rock. They're a resident of Nevada, the state of Nevada. That's where they're from. That's where the power attorney is. So everything that is alleged, everything that you're saying, I said, we're going to have a lawsuit. We're going to have a good lawsuit on you because this is propaganda. And you talk about stereotype. That's what it is. But don't think that I don't know the law. I know the law. So anyway, basically, she hung up on me.
Okay. So I want you to show the text message from Sonny where he says that this woman from the prosecution called him and said that the emergency guardianship, he had to withdraw his, they were going to recuse him. He had to basically remove himself and remove his petition because the guardianship that Mulaney has supersedes the power of attorney that Kathleen has legally sought and filed in the state of Nevada. And he explains to you that Sonny's family, they're from the state of Nevada. They're residents of the state of Nevada. Russell Vasquez, the grandson, Kathleen Bennett, the mother, and Mary Trujillo, the elder grandmother of this family, are from Nevada. And that you can't just run over the due process. So you'll be able to see that text from Sonny. Did you show that?
Yep. The first text says, due process is my argument with the process clerk in Bismarck. This morning she told me Michael is there to cross petition, have me and your mom removed. I told her, you can't do that without a hearing, and the power of attorney is still your mom, and she hung up on me.
Mm-hmm. And he just told me that. Interesting how she just hung up on him.
Mm-hmm.
Rude. She was just like, I have nothing to say. Click.
That's right. Who cares that you're an attorney and you have due process in the court? We're just going to hang up on you and you should get out of here, you know?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Very interesting. Okay, here we go. Wow. Wow.
So that's where we're at. And then we had two gentlemen that came yesterday here inquiring about me in a suit and tie and they told me to back off or I will be a dead man. And
so now...
Wow.
So he just said that he had two guys in suits showed up and they threatened his life and said he would be a dead man. And he sent me a text about that, too. We got a text from him about that, too.
I'll bring that up. Hold on un momento.
In which
he
describes the vehicle. And you're going to hear him describe to me what he talked about in this text.
There's a vehicle, new one, the shiny, the tinted glass, you know, that has been following us around, me and my family, that followed us around.
He's being followed. He's being followed around by this vehicle. He recognizes the vehicle.
But today is the first day that we didn't see him because contacted me also too. So this belt Dobson with shiny rims, you know, disappeared. So we don't know where his car is at now, but I do know that they pop out of nowhere. So I don't know who they are, but they're Native Americans. My neighbor said they're Native Americans, you know, but I don't know why Native Americans have a suit and tie on. It's very seldom that you ever see a Native American with a suit and tie on. You know, you might have a some kind of a artifact, you know, around your neck or some kind of an equipment of designs, but never a suit and tie. You don't see very many Native Americans in suit and tie. Not to disrespect anyone that does, you know, but I know that maybe a dream catcher, you know, around your neck, you know, or a beaded buckle, you know, or a ribbon shirt, but Native Americans in a suit and tie, no, I don't think they're Native Americans. They might possibly be Mexicans.
Did they, did Bill Running Fisher call, what did Bill Running Fisher say when he called you?
When he found out, you know, that he just knew me as his representative, you know, from the Roosevelt Reservation. But when he asked me to, I had to be honest because, you know, I don't want it to be a conflict of interest. And I don't know if I was being recorded, you know, because I think my phone is tapped, you know, because I understand, you know, that I can, at certain times when I'm talking on my phone, I can hear that there's an interception. I can hear that on my phone. Mm-hmm. So it's quite possibly my phone is tapped. But after talking with Bill, you know, he wanted to know what my situation was with Kathleen Bennett. And I told him, I said, I represented you in a court in a Rosebud Reservation back in 2004. He said, yeah, I know that.
Okay, so Bill Running Fisher, he's just told me that after these suited Indians showed up who'd been following him around in this Datsun with the shiny rims, they showed up and made a death threat. His buddies on the law enforcement team went looking all over the reservation for this car, and they can't find that car.
Yep.
They don't know where that car went. But they cannot find it because Sonny, he's got friends. And he's also told us that, you know, these folks, they're bringing up stuff that it's not true.
Yeah.
They're threatening him. Mm-hmm. They're threatening his family.
Yeah.
What is your involvement, you know, with... What is the involvement, you know, with Kathleen Bennett? I said, well, I can't say it. I'm not going to say it.
He's an attorney. He's protecting client privilege. Bill Running Fisher is saying, I want to know what you have to do with this case. And he's like, hey, Bill, I remember you. I represented you. And he says, Bill told him, yeah, I know that, but I want to know what's going on with this Kathleen Bennett thing. And he told him, sorry, client attorney privilege, I don't have to tell you anything.
And but I do know one thing for sure, that I'm good friends with the FBI here in Rapid City, South Dakota. And I believe you know that, as far as I know from 2004, I don't think that you're any kind of a federal agent or even a police officer. All that.
He's like, hey, I know you from 2004, and I don't think you're any kind of federal agent or even a police officer.
Mm-hmm. I knew, you know, was that you was working with the program during Roosevelt. That's all I know. I had never known you to be a police officer, much less, you know, a federal investigator or even a U.S. Marshal or FBI. I don't know that, you know, but they're saying, you know, that you are a federal agent, you know, so I believe that the FBI is wanting to talk to you.
So he told him, hey, dude, I've never heard of you being even a police officer, much less a federal agent or a U.S. Marshal. And I think maybe the FBI is going to want to talk to you about that because people have been saying that you've been representing yourself as such.
And that's where it's at now. They're wanting to talk to him, but as of today and yesterday, there is no Bill Running Fisher. He disappeared.
So, and he says, that's where it's at now. The FBI wants to talk to Bill Running Fisher. They're investigating him. And Bill Running Fisher has evaporated.
That's right. He's non-existent.
Well, he's MIA.
That's right.
He's disappeared.
Uh-huh.
He disappeared?
He disappeared.
Hmm. But
the contacts that I have, and I've been trying to find out, you know, because there's a lady that wrote me a statement that was at that camp, and she said she doesn't even know Melanie Spellman. She doesn't even know who Rhonda Gross is, much less Bill Running Fisher. She said, I don't know who they are, so I don't know why they have me as a witness. So anyway, she wrote me a statement, but I don't have it notarized, you know, but eventually that next day or so, I'm going to have it notarized, that statement, that she doesn't know either one of them. But anyway, understand very clearly, you know, that at the hearing of December 30th, Melanie Spellman testified under oath that when Kathleen, the mother, came back from the hospital, she testified under oath that she was just fine.
So two things that he said there. He said that he got statements from people at the camp that were listed as part of this whole complaint against Kathleen that said, I don't know who this Bill Running Fisher is. I don't know who this Melanie Stoneman is. I don't know why they're saying these things or that I said these things. And he's also telling us this. Wow.
That was her exact words.
Melanie's
grandma was just fine.
Melanie Stoneman testified in court that Mary Trujillo was just fine. Health-wise.
Yeah.
And you heard her tell me on the phone that Mary Trujillo is dying.
Mm-hmm.
That she was put in comfort care.
That's right.
In palliative care.
Mm-hmm.
Russell, in his phone call with us on that interview, also told us that from the records he was able to obtain that they were giving her morphine and Ativan.
Exactly. We have a medical report that says that.
They're drugging her heavily.
Mm-hmm.
As if she's at the end stages of life.
That's right.
How did she go from being completely fine, according to Melanie's own statements in the court?
Mm-hmm.
And her being this sick
and
at death's door. Let's listen to more of what she testified to, Melanie Stoneman, in the courthouse. On December 17th.
Yep, whenever she went to the hospital and came back, you know, she testified under oath, you know, that she was just fine. Because at first it said that she was hit with a shovel, and there was an intruder that was in that tarp, you know, and all that. But when it come right down to it, it was all you say. So whenever I had a chance to advocate, I'm really thankful for that judge for letting me advocate, you know, because I specifically let that judge know that everything was hearsay.
Well,
and I specifically asked that judge, could you ask Melanie Stoneman, White Eagle Fisher, could you please ask her if she has any credentials? And at that time she said, not on me. I don't have any on me. So you would think that somebody that files for a petition would have some kind of a document at the hearing, but she didn't.
So why is she trying to pretend that she does not know Bill Running Fisher? Because she told me repeatedly she doesn't know him. She's never met him. The first time she ever talked to him was on December 17th. And I believe that she was agreeing at the hearing that the December 6th incident was there was nothing wrong with her when she was evacuated to the casino. Or was she talking about when she was taken to the hospital? When she testified, did she say she was testifying?
She testified under oath that when she came back from the hospital, that she was just fine.
When she came back from the hospital, but she never came back from the hospital. She was never taken to the hospital.
I caught her in a contradiction, you know, because she said one thing and it said nothing. So I caught it right away because I've been an attorney for many, many years, you know, so I pay very close attention to what's being said.
Me too.
Because when you're under oath, you know, you can be held for contempt. And that's where she's at now. She should be held for contempt.
Yeah, well, I do too. I'm formerly a paralegal, so that I take down what people say and I, you know, I've caught her in numerous contradictions. I don't understand why she keeps saying she doesn't know who Bill Running Fisher is if she was married to him.
But see, here's the thing, you know, that I got a phone call, you know, from an unknown number, and they said, why are you trying to ignite a fire? And then they hung up on me. So it's a matter of record, you know, if somebody
So he just told us that somebody called him and was like, why are you trying to ignite a fire?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And what is he doing?
Mm-hmm.
He is a man who is an elder, who is a tribal lawyer, whose cousin, Mary, is in a hospital, who he wants to help.
Exactly.
Whose relative, Kathleen, his family member, is in a jail, who he wants to help. Whose nephew, Russell Vasquez, is trying to also help his family. He wants to help him. Mm-hmm. That's what he's doing.
Exactly.
And Melanie Stoneman is not even a relative of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's people calling him saying, why are you trying to ignite a fire?
Wow.
Why? For protecting your family?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the kinds of the lengths that people have had to go to at the camp, water protectors have had to go to for their very basic rights to clean water, to having contact with their family, to getting a fair day in court. It's hard out here, y'all, in North Dakota. Things are different out here. The way that things go is different out here. But this man, he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Listen.
I don't know if there's going to be a recording, you know, but I've received an unknown number, you know, an anonymous number. And they told me that's exactly their words, you know, so
you should
really,
you should get that number.
Why are they afraid of me? That's a big thing now, that they're all afraid of me now. And she said she's a court reporter, and then she said that she's a social worker, and so she wanted to talk to me, and they want to know if I can withdraw my petition, and I said, no, that's due process. You can't do that. You have to have a hearing. So right now they have it scheduled for December 14th, you know, but I'm asking the court, you know, because right now my cousin is, they have her guilty without, you know, even going to a trial or anything, you know, because in a court of law, we're supposed to be innocent that we're proven guilty, but they have her guilty, and they're trying to give permanent guardianship, you know, to Michael and his brother. And I told him, I said, well, you better check out his background. He said, no, we can't do that. I said, how are you going to give guardianship from my cousin? You know, she has a power of attorney. She said, no, the power of attorney does not apply here in the state of North Dakota. That might be in Nevada, but not in the state of North Dakota. I said, well, you got to be kidding. You got to be kidding. You don't have no jurisdiction with my cousin there. And so as far as the power of attorney is, my cousin still has a power of attorney over her mother. That's the law.
And there have been no cases of evidence that have been presented. Everything is hearsay. Everything against Kathleen are allegations. They haven't presented a shred of evidence. Not that we've been able to find.
Mm-hmm.
Not that have been produced on the other side. There's no evidence, a picture, something. And yet we have mounds and mounds of evidence that none of the allegations made by Bill Running Fisher and sustained by Melanie Stoneman and others ever happened, ever even took place.
That is the law. But remember just very clearly, you know, all the documents, you know, that I faxed, you know, to Russell, take a very close look at, you know, of the statement, you know, of Bill Running Fisher, you know, from December 17th. He contradicted himself twice. You know, he didn't make the same report. In his report, he said that she was in a sleeping bag, and then another the same day on the 17th. You know, he said that she was tied, you know, with some tied to a chair. You know, so he contradicted himself. But I want you to pay close attention that when Melanie Stoneman saw me at the hearing on December 30th in Bismarck, her face just turned white, like, you know, she's seen a ghost or something, you know, that I was the last person that she expected to see. And it made her nervous through the whole hearing. She could not even look at me. I tried my best to look at her and try to get her eye contact. She refused to look at me. Then when it was all said and done, she was pretending to be really caring for the grandma. But after what I said, you know, that she might possibly be arrested,
Wow. Yeah, she's probably...
And now Blue running Fisher disappeared on me.
But first...
So, I don't know, but you know, he can't hide, though. He can run, but he can't hide, you know, because I am good friends with the FBI, you know, here in Rapid City. And they're aware exactly what's going on. So when it comes right down to it, no matter where he and Melanie Fisher or Bill, wherever they go, they will find him. Because there's ghosts around the ghostland too. They will find him. There's no place for them to hide. So anyway, I told the lady today, that Sarah, that I'm going to ask, you know, for a continuance, you know, because I'm one of the cross petitioners, you know, for Russell's grandma. Mm-hmm. And I told him, you know, that on due process, you know, right now my cousin's sitting in jail and you have her guilty. And right now she is still the power attorney, you know, so I believe, you know, that you shouldn't have no hearing on the 14th day of February, you know, because she has a status hearing on the 27th. And so you go ahead and have that hearing, you know, for December 14th, you know, because that will give us more leeway to sue you. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a good case, you know, so whatever you want to do, go ahead and do it, you know, because we're prepared, and I even have attorney friends here in Rapid City, and encouraged me, his name is Bruce Ellison, and he told me that we have a very good case, and I'm also friends, you know, with a classmate of mine, his name is Larry Long, he's a judge on the eastern part of South Dakota, and he told me that this complaint proceeded from the reservation at Standing Rock, so the state don't have no jurisdiction. So she's sitting in jail for nothing.
Yes, she is sitting in jail for nothing. Kathleen Bennett, as far as we know, is sitting in jail for nothing. And let us not forget that everything that has been stated so far are allegations. So what Sonny is talking about is the fact that he knows the law and that there is tribal jurisdiction in play here that has been ignored. Where have we heard that before?
Exactly.
And that
all over the place.
And that in addition to that, there is no evidence that she has abused her mother. Therefore, she still retains guardianship. She has not been tried. She has not been proven guilty of anything. And she is sitting in a jail when they have no evidence of any wrongdoing by her.
Well over a month.
It's disgusting.
And she doesn't have her day in court till the end of February.
And then he also tells us that they sent out this Datsun. Did you show that text? There is a car that went out there. A vehicle that's been following him around.
That's right.
He got a call from the prosecution telling him he had to recuse himself because they were going to supersede his the jurisdiction in Nevada. And he said no. He showed us that text. And then he also talked about being followed and threatened, his life being threatened. And he reported this to the police. And they're watching his back. And they've been checking on him. And he told Bill Running Fisher, when Bill Running Fisher called, you know, the FBI wants to talk to you. Because all this stuff about you being a U.S. Marshal or some kind of federal official, it doesn't wash. Nobody knows that about you. You've never represented yourself that way. You've never shown any of that. I've never known you to be even a cop. So where did this identity that you created come from? And all of a sudden, Bill Runny Fisher went poof, disappeared. And that Datsun with the shiny rims.
That's right.
Poof. It disappeared.
That's right. It's gone.
So he's given you a lot of information about what he has been experiencing, the kind of stonewalling that he has been experiencing, and the facts that he knows about Melanie Stoneman and Bill Running Fisher. And I'm still at a loss because I can't understand how somebody like her would even deny knowing anything about Bill Running Fisher.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's especially if she married him.
I know. That's a big mystery. A big, has been revealed from her.
She's like, I don't know him. I never seen him. I never read his report.
That's right.
Wants to distance herself as much as possible from him. And here, an attorney of 35 years, tribal attorney, is telling me, oh yeah, there was a case on the Rosebud Reservation. He was the plaintiff. He was the complainant. And she took off. She absconded with some children that were not even hers. And there's records of it. And I tried to go find those records, and they weren't available to me. And he thinks she has something to do with it. Let's hear what else he has to say.
He said, you had one hell of a lawsuit. And also for the newspaper that blasted my cousin on TV also. Mm-hmm. They're going to all be held responsible. Well, I've been an advocate for 35 years, you know, but my aggressiveness, you know, is in court. That's where I'm very, very powerful. God has really blessed me. But as far as for the document, you know, and as far as for the protocol and the procedures, I am aware of every bit of it, all the way from A to Z. I don't care if it's a state court, federal court, or tribal court. I've been at it for so long, I can stand up with the best of them. I know that eventually we're going to have a good, hell of a lawsuit, you know, because of all the propaganda, the media that's going on, you know, and they already have their guilty.
So this is something very revealing, because he's saying, you know what, these people are going to get sued, and I'm an attorney, and I'm going to sue them. And I've already looked into it, and I've already checked it out with a lawyer and a judge. I checked to make sure that my facts were straight, and then I had my ducks in a row, and they looked at the facts, and they said, oh yeah, this is going to fly. And not just because of the tribal jurisdiction boundaries and the violations of the power of attorney of Kathleen Trujillo, and the fact that she was wrongly accused, and the fact that the FBI is investigating Bill Runningfisher. No, not just that, but the newspaper, the newspapers, the media that criminalized Kathleen Bennett, my relative, they're going to have to answer for printing what they did and saying what they said about her without any evidence. They will be held responsible for what they said. Let's listen some more.
And then the thing about it, I want you to pay close attention, is that these alleged charges have been worded different. First of all, it was alleged animal abuse, then it's exploitation, you know, that it's endangering an elder, and then there's another one. There's three of them, three steps that they're taking, you know, which means it's the same thing. So
elder abuse, endangering an elder, exploitation, all of these things have been brought up, he says. And they're basically trying to take several bites at an apple. He's talking about double jeopardy. He's talking about how they're trying to recharge her and charge her and recharge her on charges they have no evidence of.
You can't be charged twice, even though it's only alleged.
You can't be charged twice, even though it's only alleged. And yet they have. Because there's charges that they just put on her on January 26th. And on the 20th, Mulaney Stoneman said there were going to be new charges.
You cannot be alleged three times, you know, for the same complaint. But I do know that the FBI are good friends with me. The police are watching me. I'm good friends with the police, you know, and I'm an old man now. I'm 71 years old, but I know that God is taking care of me, you know, because my prayer every day is that God will help me. Yeah, good evening.
That's the end of it.
Wow.
That is the end of the interview with Sonny. And it took us a long time, four tries, to get this up. I'm gonna make it short so you can go watch it right now.
That's right.
Put it When we finalize it, then you'll be able to watch it without the interruptions and the lags and all that good stuff.
That's right. And I'll put it up online so you can actually listen to the audio. It's about 45 minutes. And listen to the whole thing without interruptions. You won't see any visuals, but you'll hear everything that was said.
Yes, but I want you to put up... since we didn't see the text of the Dotson, I want you to read what the text of the Dotson said.
Okay.
And put it back up so people can see it, because you didn't read that one.
All right, Russell, good morning. The Sheriff Patrol has been following us 3 days. When I pull over, a man driving a woman drives by.
No, that's the Dotson.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I said the Dotson.
The Dotson.
The one about the cars with the Indians and the suits.
I'm looking. Let's see.
There's only three texts.
Yep. A second text said two young men, well-dressed, dark suits and tie, and a dark blue Dotson knocked on my friend's door this afternoon asking for me and said, have Sonny back off or he is a dead man.
Okay. So that is a threat. And then there is the third text. And that's this right. is one that he sent to me today.
That's right.
In addition to sending it to his nephew, he sent this to me today.
Yeah, it says the sheriff's patrol has been following us for 3 days. When I pull over, a man driving and a woman drives by, and when I call the police, I give the make, color, tag number. That's, again, this morning. The same patrol was two blocks away. Tag number 145-1499. Check it out for me. Let me know.
Did you put that up on the screen?
I sure did.
Good. Because he's got the tag number and everything, guys. Sheriff's vehicle following him around.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just men in a dark car with shiny rims and suits coming and saying he's a dead man. It's not just the prosecution's office calling and saying, you better withdraw your petition.
Exactly.
He's being threatened with arrest, and he's got sheriffs following him around.
That's right, and it's a sheriff's vehicle following him, and then just stalking him, too.
Mm-hmm. I want you guys to make note of this, how this man,
mm-hmm.
who is a relative of Kathleen's and Mary's and Russell's, is being treated by all of these authorities. I want you to take note of it, and I want it to be public record that this man is being threatened, and so have Mary, and so have Kathleen and Russell. They're all being put in jeopardy as a result of these false allegations that have been made against Kathleen. So I ask you all to remain vigilant and to stay tuned to our updates and broadcasts on this story and others that are coming out of Standing Rock. Right now is a very critical time. The drilling has begun. The raping of our mother is underway. And the smug people in authority who have allowed this to take place are laughing. They are enjoying themselves. They are thinking that they're going to get away with doing this because they always have. But there are people who have stood and will continue to stand against injustice of this kind and of the kind that we've been seeing at Standing Rock, like Russell's family was doing when they were caught up in all of this and had their lives wrecked and had their family torn apart. This is their struggle. And this is the struggle of the people that are fighting at Standing Rock. There's hundreds of people that have been criminalized. Nearly 1,000 by now, I would guess.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not just talking about the water protectors that you know about. I'm talking about the water protectors that you don't know about.
That's right. And the allies of water protectors are being hassled.
That have been targeted.
That's right. There are police coming to people's homes.
Journalists who've been attacked.
Mm-hmm.
All of these things. Every person that has suffered the impact and the PTSD. These are all part of these stories. This is all part of the story. So I want you to stay tuned for more updates on what's happening at Standing Rock and with this story of Kathleen Bennett. Thank you for watching tonight. Please share this show. And I hope you enjoyed listening to A Mexican Crossing Lines with Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And Duke Gomez-Shemp.
On 88.1 FM KPPPLP Fargo-Moorhead, where we are adding local color to your airwaves. And as always, you can go and check us out on Facebook and online. How can folks get a hold of us, Duke?
That's right. Many ways. Most important is go to kpppfm.com and go to the updates on Standing Rock, and we'll post this audio of this show so you can see it right away. Tomorrow morning, you'll see it up. You can also call us at 701-566-0917. Tweet us at media_PPP. Email Cindy at kpppfm.com or Duke at kpppfm.com. Follow us on Facebook at 88.1 FM Fargo Moorhead, the People's Press Project in Mexi-Can.
That's correct. And I know that we have been seeing really heartbreaking and disheartening events and situations coming from Standing Rock, not the least of which is the drilling, the announcement that the Army Corps of Engineers was going to grant the easement, and the route that this administration seems to want to take, which is basically to run roughshod over the people of Standing Rock, as they will probably do with the rest of the country, where these kinds of fights for sovereignty, for freedom, for civil rights, for human rights, where those kinds of fights are taking place. But I want you to remember that it's always darkest before the dawn. And I also want you to remember that what is true today, what was true yesterday, will also be true tomorrow. And one of those truths is that the earth is our mother. And another one is that water is life. Mini Wachoni, have a good evening.